So it's Susie from MERP. I'm here with Brett from Revocation.
Hello.
How are you?
Wonderful. Yourself?
Good. Welcome back to Portland. We always love it when you guys play.
Thanks.
Your last release was a year ago with the concept album Great Is Our Sin. Revocation seems to put out an album every 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
Is there something coming up for 2017 or will it be 18?
We're unofficially going into the studio soon. And I can't tell you more about it than that.
Okay.
But yeah, we're gonna stay on track and do what we always do. And we're coming to an end with this cycle. And we have another, three or four tours and things that we're going to be doing before we jump into the studio again.
Think you'll do a concept album again?
Been a lot of talk in the van about what the record's going to be. And there's a lot of, there's some cool things we're going to do with it. But I can't tell you more than that either. As far as the concept goes, I think Dave will... I think he's always working on something. That's been his thing lately, so it very well could be.
I read that you picked up the bass due to your love of Nirvana when you were a kid.
Yeah.
So since you're in the Pacific Northwest, let's talk about Nirvana.
Sure.
What do you think it was about Nirvana over, like, Soundgarden or Alice in Chains or Pearl Jam?
Oh, they didn't give a fuck, that's why. They'd show up wasted, they'd play shitty, they'd smash their stuff. They had a raw energy that... no one else could even try to phone in because they straight up did not give a shit. And I like that a lot. It was a very unique endeavor where they were serious about the craft, but like not so serious about it where it's like they took everything else seriously.
He wore a sweater.
Yeah, he just didn't care. The guy was like a homeless guy. He ruled.
Have you been up, when you've been up in Seattle, have you seen his grave or any of the
No,
sites?
Not really. Paid a lot of tribute listening to those records, so yeah, I feel like I'm pretty well connected with it. I don't want to go see the dark stuff.
I just found out that Soundgarden is a place in Seattle.
Really?
I was a huge Chris Cornell fan, and when he died, it's a park where there's like big tubes, and when the wind blows, it makes sound.
Oh, and shit, so get out of here.
Yeah, and so when he died, I think it may have been the day, I don't know if it was the day he was buried or the day he died, they turned him off. So it made no sound. But I'm totally going to go there.
Whoa. Yeah, that was... Whew, that hits hard, huh?
Yeah.
Who saw that one coming?
Did you... So any of the other bands, did you like them? Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains?
Yeah, of course. Well, my sister got me into music at an early age, and she pretty much got me into all the cool shit that I still think is cool. She was really into Pearl Jam. I remember listening to Nirvana. Soundgarden was cool. Was it Dog Eat Dog? Is that the one? The Pearl Jam, Soundgarden collab or something?
Temple of the Dog. Yeah,
Temple
of the Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but, Mad Season was good.
Yeah. All that stuff was pretty rad. It was a cool time for music, I think.
Do you play anything besides bass?
I play guitar. And that's pretty much it.
You think of ever picking up something, you know, unique like the violin or anything?
Well, I play fretless bass. That's kind of cool. It's not anywhere near the outrageous skill level that I think you need for an instrument with, you know, violin and... Where it's really a small window of operation. I don't know. I got some people in my family that play some pretty intense string instruments, and when I pick them up, I'm like, yeah, okay. It's like, I feel like a hack, you know what I mean? I'm like, I can't even work this thing, you know? I'd like to, but I don't think I have the time nowadays.
Revocation is categorized as technical death metal and thrash metal. That's been around since the 80s. And things like grunge and hair metal, you know, they came and they went. What do you think it is about death metal that stands the test of time?
Maybe the strength in the underground, you know? A lot of the things that you mentioned blew up and blew up on a pretty big scale. And there's a lot of money involved and a lot of advertising. And I think death metal still, there was a ceiling that, you know, the other genres you mentioned didn't have. So it didn't have a chance to really get ruined as bad. Maybe. I don't know, but that's my theory.
I think it sounds good. When I'm going to try to see if I can ask this question right. When a band does a breakdown or a groove-driven beat and everybody nods their head or headbangs in unison, what do you think that is? Do you think it's primal? Do you think it's... I've been trying to figure out what that is.
I think it's a part that doesn't require as much attention. And it's like a simple emotion generator.
I think that's a great...
If there's like a million outrageous things going on, like the craziest blast and the craziest shreddy tech riff, and like, ooh, you know what I mean? Then it just breaks into a groove. Everyone's like... It's like being like, you know, at a wedding when a dope song comes on, you know? You want to get up out of your chair and get up and dance.
I think that's a fabulous answer. I've been fascinated by, like, megahertz and, like, white noise and, you know, things like that, and trying to read everything I can about it. It's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about the recent attacks at venues. Are you ever concerned for your safety?
Like, you know, fear of death is fear of life. And, you know, I spend a lot of time with the guys moving in a box, traveling at 80 to 500 miles an hour. So you kind of just keep your eyes open, be aware that anything can happen at any time. And if it does happen, then you got to worry about it then. Yeah, I don't spend time worrying about it unless it's going down. Hopefully I catch one real quick and don't have to. Or get out of there, you know?
Besides playing music, and it sounds like you also participate in other bands and, like, production and things like that.
Yeah.
And you have other bands that you play with,
too. Yeah.
If you weren't a musician and involved in music, what do you think you'd do?
I don't know. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. That's such a loaded question because my mother made me go to college. And with my first year in college, I played in a band called the Postman Syndrome at the time. And we were signed to Now or Never Records. And we got offered tours at, like, Dillinger Escape Plan. And we all said no to stay in college because, like, our parents kind of like, you're dropping out to do these tours that don't matter. And hindsight, I'm like, wow, that cost me about 10 years of progress in my career by not doing that. And I haven't ever gotten a job that utilized my college degree. You know, I use some of the business things I learned operating the band because it is a business. But I can't answer that question. This is, I guess, the only thing I was destined to do. I tried to drop out, and my mom's like, no, you're not doing it. And I ended up finishing my degree, and as soon as I was done, I was like, see ya, I'm working in restaurants and going on tour, and I did.
Is your degree in business?
My degree is in environmental policy and business.
Okay.
Yeah.
I read an interview where you said you'd only marry if you could reproduce. Do you still feel the same?
Yeah. Wow, when was that? That was a long time ago, huh?
2015.
Well, I did... I think I was not in... Maybe I was just coming out of a bad relationship then. I was engaged a while ago, a long time ago. And it didn't really work out. And I don't know what I was thinking.
I can read your quote.
Yeah, here. Please do. Yeah.
Marriage sucks, and I'd only do it if I was planning on reproducing. I can't do it with either of them, so I'd rather live in solitude with my base. It was a question. It was, would you rather have, like, chicken legs for arms and or drum sticks for legs or something like that?
Oh,
that
okay, right on. Yeah, you know, I remember that interview now, and I remember where I was sitting when I was writing it out. Marriage is not really for me because I love being on the road, but I am getting older and settling down, and the idea of, like, investment and property investment and having, like, a pretty easy setup when I get home is becoming more and more attractive to me, more so in the past year than it ever has. But we all get older.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not like, you know what, I'm going to have kids and get married and buy the house with the white picket fence. I'm just like, oh shit, I work in a job that doesn't have a pension, and if the van flips over, like, I'm beat, because if my team goes down, that's my team, you know? You can't do anything about it. So I'm thinking about things down the line, but marriage and kids are not really one of them.
It was more of a funny question, because I thought your answer was so funny before. So.
No, but I'll seriously answer it.
Yeah, I think it was in that same interview, or one right around there, you were asked, would you rather be in an 80s rock band in present day, or Revocation in the 80s?
What did I say?
Your answer was Revocation in the 80s may have done some sick stuff. So,
yeah. Oh my god. I'm gonna be quiet right now.
So I wanted to ask you, name two 80s bands that you love and two that you don't like at all.
Guns N' Roses I love, and Metallica I love. And I classify them both as 80s bands. The ones that I don't love, there's so many of them. They were so shot. I don't know. I even like the cheesy ones, like Warrant. I was like totally down with. So I like them all. How's that?
Fair enough.
Yeah, even the brutal stuff was awesome, and the hair stuff was funny as hell, and it still is. So I like it all.
I have the Saxon S tattooed on my body.
Awesome. That's what's up.
With the complexity of David's playing and composition, is it hard not to overthink the bass parts when you write?
No. Actually, when I joined the band, it was very difficult for me to acclimate my playing style to what the band demanded from the bass. I used to play in a band called East of the Wall, and it was more like a lead bass role. when we wrote in the room together collaboratively 4 to 5 nights a week when I was living in New Jersey, and it was everybody just did their own thing. It was never like, yo, show me that part. It was like, I listened to it and be like, all right, I got this part over top of it. And it was like, oh shit, that would be cool to go into. And that's how we wrote. And now with Revocation, it was like, Dave's like, here's the songs, boom. And I'm like, what the fuck do you want me to play over this? I'm like, there's so many notes. He's like, you don't hear it, man? It's just the root note. And I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah. So now when he sends me stuff, I know exactly what he's looking for. And if we want to spice it up and have the bass be more interactive, we can do it accordingly. You know, maybe I'll hear something that he didn't when he was writing, like, oh, it'd be cool if the bass swallowed the guitar on that, because you don't want to overdo it. We like using the bass as like a functional instrument, you know. You gotta have the low end, you gotta have the groove, and I try not to overdo it on the bass parts.
And you had some challenges with your sound too, sound that blended with Revocation, right? If I remember, I read that you had some sound issues, like with amplification and pedals and
I changed everything because I play like with the old band's finger style and tapping and with a pick, and you know, there's parts I had clean, there's parts I had distortion, parts of overdrive, a lot of delays and all things like that. Like, I use my bass as a different tool in the, you know, previous bands, and with Revocation it's like, you're the bass player. So I'm like, oh, how do I sound like the bass player? I change up my amplifier, change up my effects boards, and started using more equipment geared towards the bass specifically, rather than using guitar equipment mixed with line selectors and fancy pedal board setups. So it took me a minute to fall into it, but I did.
Have you ever gone into the studio and just jammed a part and it got laid down and you had to learn it later?
Not that I can remember. Not in the past.
So it's very planned out when you go into the studio.
I did a recording project with, it was Charlie Z, Bruce Lamont, and Kevin Hufnagel, called Maj, and we have some recordings that's all improv, because I used to fill in for Yakuza here and there. They're a band from Chicago, and it's got a sax player. Bruce now plays in Brain Tentacles. I'm not sure if you heard of them. He also plays in Corrections House and Zeppelin 2 and a million other bands. He kills it. But that was, I think, the only real improv session I had, and it's pretty cool. He sent me the like masters for that maybe 6 months ago, and I was like, oh man, I'm so scared to listen to this. And I put it on and I was like, whoa, this is trippy, this is great, this is awesome. And I hit up Kevin, I'm like, did you listen to it? He's like, yeah, I was scared, and I put it on and it was awesome. I'm like, oh my god, same thing for me. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Are you still a fan of music? So besides watching bands while you're on the road, do you at home when you have downtime, do you go see bands still?
Yeah, whenever I can. I work any kind of like odd job I can when I'm at home currently. So I had to pass on a few shows that came by recently because I was working like 85 hours a week. But whenever I can, and I can walk to or drive to a lot of venues in Richmond where I live very easily. So whenever I can, I do.
Is there a band that you never miss? I mean, like your favorite band that you never miss live?
Dysrhythmia, I won't miss if they're in town. I'll go there on no sleep and have to wake up at 4 in the morning and still make the show. Tombs. One of my all-time favorites. It's a lot of tri-state bands, I guess.
So, looking forward to the, you know, the last half of 2017, what do you look forward to for Revocation?
The next thing. We've been growing at a slow and steady pace, in my opinion. And I'm just looking forward to, we grow tighter and stronger. I think the band's playing better than it ever has. I think we're getting along better than we ever have. I think we're doing more than we've ever have. We're making more money than we ever have, and I'm just excited to see where we take it next, because hopefully it's another step up. It's not really a predictable game that we're in. Maybe it's a good combination of luck and hard work, but hopefully we combine those in the same ratio and get the same result for the next cycle.
2016's Great Is Our Sin had the following chart numbers. So like number one new artist on Heatseekers, current hard music albums, number 6. How important is that to you guys? Do you actually like pay attention to these as a band?
Dude, it's the most stressful thing that you can do when you put out a record. You're literally, we've been in the van for I think the past 2 that we put out. When we did Deathless, the band's been touring a lot since I joined too. But so we're always on tour, but we're waiting for the first week numbers to come in. We're all in the van and it's like no one's listening to music. We're all quiet. We're like biting our fingers, like hit calling people, calling the label, like how we doing, what's going on. And when you wait for these things to come in, it's a gauge really for everybody to look at on whether you're shot or hot, to put it plainly. So it's really stressful. And it shouldn't be, but it is. I wish it was different.
I would think it'd be stressful.
Yeah, because you look at those and you're like, okay, here comes the numbers. What tours are we going to be able to get submitted for? Is our guarantee going up or down? Are we going to be on tour 8 months or 3 months? And we got lucky every time so far, so we're going to shoot for that again.
So I'm going to ask, say, like, five things, and I want you to tell me what is the single most important thing for acquiring and keeping fans. Is it touring, interviews, new releases, videos, or social media?
Well, I think they're all of equal importance, more or less, but I'd say touring's number one, because you stop touring and you just go away. Or if you stop touring at the wrong point, you're going to go away. You know, you could take a band like Mastodon that could stop touring right now, come back in 5 years, and make more money. You know, I think we're at the point now where if we stop touring, people are like, yo, what happened to those dudes? We're not at that point, obviously. Like, it's very... Yeah. We're a much smaller band than Mastodon, you know. But that would be the most important. Interview, they're all important. Everyone works together to really keep this scene alive and to keep everybody working.
I know Dave can be very philosophical and smart in his lyrical writing, like quoting Darwin and things like that. Mm-hmm. Do you share in his love of literature?
I don't. No. I've been reading a lot more lately, but it's been all like property investment books and landlording books and things like that, because I'm getting into that.
Last question for me is, can you finish this sentence? Besides music, I love...
skateboarding. Yeah.
Have you seen our skateboard parks here?
Yeah, I just took a trip down to Burnside earlier today. We got here and I had way more time than I had anticipated, and I'm like, oh, way cool. And we just started messing around on our boards in the parking lot and took a trip down to Burnside, and the local guys made fun of us, obviously, because that's what they do. And you kind of just like, all right, dude, like, come on. I got my own local spots too. Like, relax.
The waterfront, it runs the whole, you know, all the, I don't know how many miles, but that's a nice place to ride, but I wouldn't imagine too. It's all paved.
Yeah. So. It was cool. We just skated over the bridge. It was awesome.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
No. Just thanks you guys for having the time. Thanks to all the fans for keeping us on the road. I personally have another record coming out on July 7th on Season of Mist called River Black. Is the name of the band and the name of the record, and it's pretty much three guys from Burnt by the Sun, and I'm playing bass on it, and I'm really excited for that record. So
will check that out. Will you tour with it?
No, that band won't tour.
Okay.
We got two members with full-time families, and we can only kind of go out when it makes sense financially and logistically, because Dave plays drums in Municipal Waste. I'm busy with Revocation, and you know, Mike and John have a million things going on in their personal lives that are really awesome too.
We are very happy to have you back in our city. Thank you for your time today, and have a great show.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.